History was made at Stormont last night after MLAs voted in favour of making it a crime to pay for sex. The move came as part of Lord Morrow's private members' bill on human trafficking and exploitation. The ban on paying for sex was opposed by the Justice Minister, David Ford, but was passed 81 votes to 10. The DUP even said it would accept some Sinn Féin amendments. A rare example of agreement between the two parties. We'll speak to the DUP in just a second. Sarah Walker is from the group, the English Collective of Prostitutes. What do you make of this then, Sarah?
Well, it's very bad news for, you know, for sex workers and all women. It's going to make it more dangerous. It will drive, you know, criminalizing clients drives women underground. It won't reduce prostitution. And what they've done is to use trafficking, distorting the figure, and they're not really, it's scaremongering, really, because trafficking is basically used to raid and deport women. It's many women who do need help don't get it. And they've ignored the research, which was very powerful. 85% of sex workers were against the bill, and most said that it would make it more dangerous. They've ignored that. The people behind it have a very homophobic track record. They're not for women. They've not addressed the issue of poverty, which is what is driving women into prostitution.
This was a broad cross-section of the Assembly. It wasn't just one party last night, and other parts of the UK may be following suit. Northern Ireland might be leading the way here.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, they should be following New Zealand. New Zealand decriminalised, and in fact, all the information from Sweden is that it's made it more dangerous, driven women underground. Women have had to go across the border to work. This is a very dangerous thing. They've even gone against, even the police thought that it would make it more dangerous for women. They've ignored the research. They've ignored Amnesty International is against it.
Why does someone pay for sex? What type of man pays for sex and uses a woman like that? Or indeed a man?
Well, it really is not about that. I mean, you have... Well, no, women are selling sex often because our wages are lower, because we have so many caring responsibilities. Most sex workers are mothers, about 70% are mothers. Many are single mothers. So unless you address the issue of women's poverty and children's poverty, I mean, bear in mind that West Belfast has one of the highest levels of poverty in the UK. 43% of children are being raised in poverty, and this is what's driving women into sex work. So criminalizing clients is not the way to go. It just makes it more dangerous, and it doesn't deal with the issues that are driving women into sex work in the first place.
So it's not exploitation to pay someone for their body. You're going to continue to argue that.
Also, you know, this bill is very salacious because people are being exploited in all kinds of industries. You know, for example, domestic workers, people in agricultural work. And it's not dealing with any of that. It's a salacious focus on sex work.
Well, Paul Given from the DUP is with us this morning. How do you respond to that, Paul?
Good morning, Stephen. Well, right from the start, actually, it does cover those that are being exploited in agriculture, exploited in domestic servitude. That's why it's called the Human Trafficking and Exploitation Bill. So the caller there is actually incorrect. This bill sends a very clear message to our society and to people who believe it is right to treat other individuals as a commodity that they can buy, use and abuse. And what we're making it very clear is that's not acceptable, and we're going to crack down on the buyer who inflicts that misery, and in parallel to that, we're going to support those that are the victims. That's why this legislation had a whole series of amendments that were debated yesterday around establishing support packages and exiting strategies from prostitution.
Yeah, but you don't deny that there would be some consenting adults on both sides. You don't deny that there would be people who are not being exploited because they have the wherewithal about them. They're in a decision and have the capacity to make a decision for themselves and are deciding to sell their body. And people like you are getting involved.
Well, I think that benevolent type attitude that I hear, that these are consenting adults and the people that are in poverty who are coming often from very dysfunctional backgrounds, that somehow prostitution is a noble industry that they should be subjected to. I don't accept that. I believe those people need to be supported and protected. And it is the case that some people will feel that this is an interference into their private life. I accept that. But it is about a balance of rights. And the Northern Ireland Human Rights Commission gave evidence to the Justice Committee, and they made it clear that it was appropriate for a state to put the rights of the most vulnerable and to protect the rights of the most vulnerable above the right that I am hearing some people indicate that they would support, that it's the right to choose. Now, to me, it is no choice at all. If you're in the position of
ignoring sex workers, you've completely ignored sex workers' views, and you're mixing up consenting sex with unconsenting sex, which is really insulting, because women, we know the difference. We know what is violence and rape, and we know what consenting sex is, and we have a right to choose that. And what you're not dealing with is the issue, what is driving women into sex work, and that's poverty, low wages, lack of benefits, and the fact that many, many sex workers are mothers. So this is a complete diversion. All it will do, how will women come forward if they see heavy policing, raids, people being arrested? That does not encourage women to come forward. That creates a climate where there's fear and there's much less possibility to come forward and report violence. This is a very dangerous bill, and I think many people will live to regret it, because that's what's happened in Sweden. It's been a disaster. And I must say that sex workers did give evidence to
Let's let Paul respond.
And they were very badly treated. Sex workers, they were absolutely...
Let's let Paul respond.
Well, I don't accept that. And indeed, I went to Sweden and colleagues went to Sweden from the Justice Committee. And what has happened there, and it's undisputable, is that before the law came in Sweden, upwards of 14% of those, there were people that engaged in buying sex. When the law came in, that 14% figure dropped to 7%. It reduced it in half. Now, it didn't remove prostitution. It didn't remove human trafficking. And nobody is saying that this is the panacea to dealing with this problem. But it did reduce demand. And that's why I support the police service whenever they have said that they do support this bill, because they believe it will be a tool for them to use against serious organised crime gangs who regard prostitution, human trafficking, as a low-risk but very high-yielding cash profiteering exercise for them to be engaged in and exploiting women and young people in.
Here's Dennis in this in Whitehead. Morning, Dennis.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Dennis.
Stephen, I've been listening to what you're saying there. With a whole lot of law in this country, say, for instance, speeding. With laws against speeding, doesn't stop it. With laws against burglary, doesn't stop it. With laws against murder, doesn't stop it.
Well, the laws are a deterrent.
Hold on, Stephen. This has been put very much forward as this will nearly automatically stop because of this law. It won't. If you want proof of that, go to the West End of London. Talk to the Metropolitan Police.
But they're all different aspects of life where the state, Dennis, says this is wrong. The state sets the example. The state sets the threshold, whether it stops it or not.
Hold on, Stephen. The state has a limit to what it can and can't do. The state crosses a lane at certain times.
Well, do you agree with men buying women for
sex? Absolutely not. But that can be dealt with by police intelligence, by watching them coming through and leaving and entering the country. That's what stops it.
Okay.
It's pressure from the security services monitoring borders.
All right. Dennis, thank you. Morning to you. Sarah, morning to you. Thank you. Paul Given, before you go this morning, when are you leaving the chair of the Justice Committee?
Well, that's above my pay grade, and obviously I'm happy to serve for as long as the leader requires me to do that, and whenever the point in time comes when the change will take place, I'll be more than happy to serve the party in whatever capacity that it wishes me to do so.
That would be the leader who dumped you, who axed you.
Well, Peter Robinson is leading our party, continues to lead the party, and has my full support to do so. But I have to say, thoroughly enjoyed being chairman of the Justice Committee. And
you must be a wee bit sore then about being dumped, but I'm getting rid of you.
None whatsoever. There are always new opportunities, and I look forward and relish the new opportunities, whenever that may be. But
come on, be honest, Paul, you're a bit disappointed. You took a while to back your leader, didn't you? Took a while to send out, in fact, did you ever send out, you sent out the tweets, what, a few days later after everyone else?
Certainly did. And
what kept you?
No, it didn't send it out a few days later. And this is a distraction. I enjoy it. But actually, this isn't a conversation that's happening in the DUP. Peter Robinson has the full and unanimous support of our party to lead. We're engaging in serious negotiations. then we'll be going in and fighting elections, because it's actually about serving the people and not serving ourselves. And as chairman of the committee, I have enjoyed it. And on this particular bill, we spent 7 months gathering up a huge amount of evidence, and I believe our report, whenever we look back at this, will be a demonstration of actually how business can be done in the Assembly, because we worked across all the parties with Sinn Féin, the SDLP and the Ulster Unionists, and together we overcame a number of difficulties, and that required some pragmatic politics. And yesterday we had a historic vote of 81 in favour and only 10 against. And I hope that those 10 will reflect on that. And at the next stage...
When does it become law, Paul?
Well, we now move into the further consideration stage. So the critical votes took place yesterday and last night, up until about 1:45 in the morning. So the further consideration stage will be in a couple of weeks, and then we'll have the final stage. At that point, we then await royal assent, and then there'll be a commencement for this to come in. So there will be a lead-up to this law coming into effect, because obviously we need to make preparation for it. The support packages need to be in place for people to exit prostitution, and the public need to be made aware and educated that this is a new law and it is going to have a serious impact on people who believe it is right to pay for sex.
You know, the way I like to keep banging on at you guys about support for your parties and all this kind of stuff. So just one last question. Just indulge me here. Do you support Peter leading your party in the next Assembly elections?
Peter is our leader without a shadow of a doubt, and he will continue to lead the party for as long as he wants to, and that's the Westminster election, that's the Assembly election, and so on. And let
but
me be unequivocal,
you?
He has my support to do so, Stephen.
Okay, good man. Thank you, Paul.
Morning to you.
17 minutes tonight. See? Clarity! At last!